Hey, welcome in, everybody. Happy Tuesday. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you live at Everbank Field, Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute Studios. Jaguars today. Tony.
Yeah.
A lot less more friendly, I should say, I guess. A lot less congested on the roads than it was yesterday.
I got stuck in my driveway for 15 minutes this morning because a neighbor had to get the fire department called out for an ambulance. So I had a fire truck blocking my driveway this morning for 10 minutes before I could leave. So we've had our issues.
How's the neighbor?
I don't know. They've been in and out of the hospital now for the last like year and a half that I've been living there. It's every couple months they have to get an ambulance to that house.
It's tough to complain when, you know, the cause of that is something probably life-threatening to somebody else.
Right.
So.
I mean, I didn't complain. I was just, like, I looked out my window. I was like, what's that noise? And I saw a fire truck, and I was like, all right, I guess I'll watch five more minutes of this Lance Armstrong documentary that I had on the TV. So, I got here in time.
By the way, I noticed these over the weekend when I came in here. What do you make of the new microphone setup here at headquarters?
It's microphones.
I know. It's just different, though. It's a little bit more of a clean look. We used to have the hanging microphones, which I'm sure you've seen in shots like on Jaguars This Week or whatever the heck gets filmed in this studio, a bunch of stuff that goes up on the website.
It's more like a mic and mic look now.
Yeah, table mics.
Yeah,
is what we have now. I think I sound richer, I sound fuller, and more complete and more knowledgeable than ever as far as that goes. We're not going to belabor Dante Fowler Jr. too much, but I did want to add a few thoughts yesterday because it was kind of a disjointed show joining you from various roadways around St. John's and Duval County. But, you know, I agreed. I listened to the entire show, you and John Osier yesterday, and I agreed with the sentiment that this team is not desperate at that position. I think the one thing we're overlooking, though, in that assessment is what are we going to get out of Cedric Marks here in Jacksonville this year? Because I think he was so important to that pass rush, getting the 8 sacks from his position, which is not a total you expect, and really creating a lot of havoc that I think resulted in other guys finding opportunities to get to the quarterback last year. But if you asked us last year, I think we would have said the defensive line was the best unit on the football team, right? So people would question, well, then why do you draft Dante Fowler Jr.? Well, it's not just about this upcoming season, as we've talked about. You've got Andre Branch in the final year of his rookie deal, and they haven't decided that he's earned an extension yet. Maybe he will, maybe he won't. You've got Chris Clemens, who nobody will be surprised if this is his final year in Jacksonville. Just age eventually is going to catch up with you. He did have 8 sacks last year, wasn't unproductive, but game in, game out, wasn't always as consistent as you'd like a guy to be. But I think they can scrape by. But like you said yesterday, you're adding this guy, whoever you take with the third overall pick, because you think he's a difference maker.
Right.
You think he's going to be among the best players on your football team, particularly for a team that has consistently earned top three picks for the last 3 years. So there's no quantifying the loss. We don't know what Dante Fowler Jr. would have given you. But I do think it's at a position where if they don't suffer a rash of injuries, I think they can be okay up front. It's not just one position, but in terms of that position group. I realize the stats show that they got to the quarterback an inordinate amount of times based on the amount of pressure. They do need to increase their pressure, but I think these young players, some of them, can continue to get better. Ryan Davis can continue to get better. I think Andre Branch was having a good season when he got hurt last year. I think he can continue to get better. I think Jared Odrick, on the other side, bringing fresh legs, can help this football team. And we don't know what kind of contribution you're going to get out of Cedric Marks this year.
No, you don't. Like, my sense right now of what's going to happen on the defensive line, we talked about it a little bit last week coming out of the draft, just looking at where they were on the roster when we had Alfie on for a couple minutes with his 53-man projection, and they were at a point where they were going to have to cut a pretty good football player on that defensive line, if not two pretty good football players on that defensive line. So the Dante Fowler injury takes one of those decisions away from this team. I will say we've been talking about that. The sack number compared to the number of times they were getting pressured, it wasn't in balance last year. When they got some pressure, they generally got the sack. I think the sack number's coming down this year. I know they got 45 last year. I think it's going to be somewhere in the mid-30s this season. I think it's going to balance itself back out a little bit for this team. I don't know how much better they got at rushing the passer with what they've done this offseason now that Dante Fowler Jr. isn't in the fold. I don't know that they got better rushing the passer. And like you said, it's in Derek Marks. What are they going to be getting from him, at least in the early part of the season? I think Clemens is a year older. Audric is a better pass rusher than Red Bryant was, but I'm not sure that left defensive end in this defense is a guy that you're looking at to get sacks. So I think the number's coming down this year for this team on that side of the ball. I hope their pressures can remain at about the same level or go up a little bit, because I certainly think there's room to improve for this football team in that kind of number. But the ratio of getting pressure to getting the quarterback on the ground is going to normalize a little bit in 2015.
I don't disagree with that, and I don't think that's something that they can't overcome either.
Right.
You know what I mean? If it's not 45 sacks, if it's 37 sacks, you can still be very productive, like you said, if you're getting more pressure as well.
They forced the ball on the ground a lot last year.
Right.
A lot of fumbles, and I think they need to get to the point where they're creating pressure, because their interception numbers were terrible last year. And I don't think it was all coverage problems. They had some coverage problems, but there were times when guys were doing the job in the secondary and there was just no pressure. So you have no chance on the back end for those guys. The pressure numbers need to come up, because it feels like you got guys on the back end now that can help you out a little bit more. They bring in Devon House. You feel good about your first three corners right now in Jacksonville. So go get some pressure on the quarterback and force some bad decisions, which is not something they've been doing.
Yeah, I agree that they haven't necessarily demonstrably improved their pass rush. I don't think it has to take a major hit, though. I think Skuda can help as well a little bit in that department. And the question is, can you replace send Derek Marks 8 sacks with whoever is filling in for him? Because I got to believe he's not playing as many snaps early in the season, even if he is active.
You would think
from
so.
From the very beginning, right? I mean, that's a pretty aggressive timetable from the last week of the season to have him ready for week one. And if he doesn't give you those 8 sacks and the pressure that came with them, is somebody else filling the gap for him? But I don't think they've fallen off the cliff. I think Chris Clemens can give you another 8 sack season if he stays healthy. And that's always an if with anybody, but particularly for a guy approaching, 33 years old now? So, look, in the end, it's not crippling, but I agree with the description that a lot of people gave it. It was a gut punch. That's what it felt like when you're out there. It's just so deflating to this fan base, to this organization. Everything so positive this offseason, with the free agency class, addressing needs, the draft, universally praised. And, again, addressing needs, also stretching out a little bit, grabbing some best player available in the case of a guy like A.J. Cann. You really felt like they solidified their offensive line, or at least on paper have done that. There's a lot of positives that have gone into this offseason. Doesn't mean it's over with. It's one guy who maybe, when all was said and done, would have given you 4 or 5 sacks this year. Mm-hmm. And if that is the case, then you should be able to persevere without him. But you had probably in the back of your mind, even if you didn't expect it, had the hope that, hey, maybe the learning curve won't be so steep, and maybe Dante Fowler Jr. will prove to be a guy worthy of commanding a double team on a consistent basis, because that's really, in addition just to the number of times you get a guy on the ground, what's the value of J.J. Watt when they're sending 2 or 3 blockers at him on every play? You're getting a lot of one-on-one looks if you're the Houston Texans up front. The Jags need that kind of alpha guy in terms of a guy defensive coordinators or offense coordinators need a game plan for.
Right. And look, we talked about it last year with what they did in the offseason last year to improve that defensive line. They bring in Clemens, they bring in Ziggy Hood, they bring in Red Bryant. We knew the most productive pass rusher on that team 2 years ago was Sendarek Marks, right? Like, his ability to push from the inside, but there was nothing around him to help him out. Nothing on that team. And it was about how much better is Marks going to be once he has Clemens and Bryant and all these guys on the line with him. And you saw it. Marks was an even better player with those guys around him. Well, now Marks is coming off an ACL, and what have they done that you feel better about what they're doing on the defensive line now with Dante Fowler out? They were fine on the defensive line last year. The point is that you felt like this could turn into something really good for Jacksonville with Dante Fowler coming into the fold. And now you don't really have that feeling. It's like, we'll be okay. We'll be okay on defensive line. But you felt like this could be something
for us.
Could
be a special unit.
Right. And now that feeling's gone. It's just gone with Dante Fowler not able to be out there.
I agree with that. And, for people saying it's not going to affect the one-loss column, well, why do you draft guys? I mean, ultimately, if a guy plays like the third pick in the draft, maybe it doesn't. It doesn't always work that way, right? You don't always come in. You may play well in your rookie season, and you don't necessarily impact the win-loss column. But ultimately, that's the point of it, isn't it? I mean, the more good players you have, the more games you are going to win, or that's the idea, that's the model. So there's no way to quantify that either. Had he played and gotten you 12 sacks, there's no way to say what the difference in the record would have been with or without him.
Right. And talking about the importance of Dante Fowler to a win-loss record doesn't downplay, to me at all, the importance of, look, it is about the growth of Blake Bortles in year two and all those guys on offense, but it was also about, you felt like you were getting better everywhere. You know, for an offseason, you felt like you were getting better in all these different spots, and you're a team that won three games last year. You need to get better in a lot of different spots, and now for one that you've, again, you felt good about it last year. It was fine. The defensive line was fine for you last year, but you felt like it could be a lot better this season with the addition of Audric and Fowler to that group, and now Fowler's not in the fold. It just sucks.
All right, if you want to talk about that, you're certainly welcome to. 641-1010 is the way to do it. We'll throw the fan feedback question of the day out when we return in a moment. We'll be Deflategate, Wells Report, Tom Brady-centric. Four-game suspension handed down yesterday by Roger Goodell in the National Football League. And Tony, I know you're upset, but this apparently ends the buddy-buddy relationship between Robert Kraft and Roger Goodell, according to published reports.
I don't know what I'm going to do.
So, you know, the Patriots will accept the punishment until they find out the punishment actually has some teeth to it, and now they will not accept the punishment. Not a surprise whatsoever. Why you said you were going to accept whatever was coming down the line anyway was the surprise to me when Robert Kraft said that last week. But Tom Brady, will he in fact miss the first month of the season? Is that a justifiable and just sentence for what he is said to have done? I don't even, do you use alleged now? I mean, the Welsh report says, you know, kind of a preponderance of the evidence status here. More likely than not.
Yeah, probably.
Do you believe that Tom Brady cheated? I do.
Yes.
I think Tom Brady had knowledge of the extra legal, I don't want to call it illegal, sounds very dastardly, but the outside the rules tampering with the footballs. Keep in mind, Tom Brady is one of the lead proponents who lobbied the league to change the rule which allows the quarterbacks to prepare the footballs for play, and that was passed. And from that point on, when it was passed, you've seen an uptick in certain numbers with the New England Patriots over that period of time, and a lot of people are saying, does that coincide with this tampering with the ball for all that time? Everybody points to, you know, the second half of the Colts game, they blew them out. What about all the, are we suggesting that's the only time that this methodology was used? Clearly it wasn't, because the NFL was alerted to it ahead of time. Who's to say they didn't do it against the Ravens in an extremely close game the week before, or several regular season games, which may have been the difference between having home field and not having home field in the playoffs.
And that's ignoring everything else that was in the Wells report, too, regarding the conversations between the two guys who handle the footballs from Tom Brady to when they get on the field. It's ignoring all of that to say, you know, with the idea of, well, they use two different needles and the official doesn't know which needle he used in pregame and halftime. Okay, right? Okay, but you're ignoring everything else to the benefit of this one little piece of circumstantial evidence. And the idea that circumstantial evidence can't get you thrown in jail, right, on one of these things. They don't have hard evidence on Aaron Hernandez. He just got convicted of murder.
On circumstantial evidence.
On circumstantial evidence. It doesn't have to be hard. This isn't Law and Order, people.
Right.
This is the real world. It doesn't have to be this hard, just smoking gun evidence in order for you to feel like somebody did something. And that's basically what the NFL is saying. And I'm not comparing Deflategate.
Of course not.
To Aaron Hernandez.
But you're just saying a serious crime can be convicted on circumstantial evidence. Certainly,
so why not something as silly as deflating footballs?
And we'll talk about that. And what does this do to Tom Brady's legacy, if anything, in your eyes, as we go along today? 641-1010, the number. You can tweet us at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL, Fat Tony, and at 1010XL, Tyler. Open for business. Straight ahead, it's Jaguars Today live at Everbank here on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. All right, the Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar and text line's wide open to you, Tony, as well. Same number as the call-in, 641-1010. Texter says, who cares about Tom Brady? And I hate the Patriots. This whole thing has been way overhyped. Everyone wants the Patriots to be guilty, so they are. I cannot believe this is the best way to talk about Let's Talk Jaguar football. I'll text her. I'll fill you in that mostly we do talk Jaguar football, but it's a show about the NFL at large, too. And if you don't think a four-time Super Bowl champion quarterback, current Super Bowl reigning championship team, gets nailed for cheating for the second time in about a decade, roughly, really. If you go back, Spygate stretch out probably more than a decade ago. They were busted, I guess, in 2007.
Busted in 2007, but it was about to that walkthrough against the Rams.
The Rams.
So that's 20 years ago now.
Not 20 years ago.
Wasn't it? Just no. About.
No, it was like 2001, right?
15, 16 14, years
yeah,
ago.
14, 15 yeah. years ago. That was a while ago.
I hope this is the end for Brady, honestly.
You can't count.
No. I hope this is the end for... I was thinking about this on my way in. I was like, I hope the Patriots are never the same after this suspension. I hope it gets upheld, and I hope they're never the same so that we can say these jokers bookended it with cheating. It was... They cheated to get the first one when they were recording the Rams, and you could tell me everybody records signals and all this stuff. I don't care if everybody does it. We know the Patriots did it. And they got punished for it.
I don't know that everybody does it.
Right. I don't care if everybody does it. I know the Patriots did. And then Tom Brady gets caught with this scandal at the end of his career. So I hope this is it for the New England Patriots. And we can book in this thing the way it began. They cheated to start. They cheated to end it. And that's it for the New England Patriots. I don't think that's how it's going to work out. But I certainly hope it is.
See, I think it's going to be, everyone's going to decide their own thing. Like this texter, there are probably a lot of people out there who say, I don't care. They won the game. But to me, that's the whole point.
Right.
If they've been cheating, and perhaps systematically cheating, and who knows in what other aspect, they've been busted for Spygate. They were busted for cheating, period. Now, you see the Pro Football Talk item yesterday that said, that there's a belief in league circles, you know, in other words, just talk, that Belichick said, if you ever go after us again, this is after Spygate, I will cite chapter and verse on everything I know about every cheating thing that's ever been done in the National Football League.
Bring it on.
Bring it on. Exactly. And so they were suggesting, well, they didn't go directly after Belichick in this one. They said he was... You know, not guilty because he didn't have knowledge of it. We still went after the Patriots.
Right.
You docked him a first round pick and a fourth round pick. Here's the thing, Tony.
So what you're saying is that the Patriots who cheated with Spygate, who have been accused of cheating with this whole Deflategate nonsense, right? It's silly. The whole football, deflating the foot, it's silly, but it is a rule, and that's why it's been made as big a deal as it has been, that the head coach during this entire time's response to that is, you leave me alone, or I'm going to dig dirt up on you. So he's trying to blackmail the NFL into leaving them alone.
Basically.
Essentially, for their cheating.
That, if you believe that is accurate.
Right.
I don't know if that's the case whatsoever. But
it's all ridiculous.
Regardless of this. Look, if this investigation had been done in a fast fashion, right, and obviously they painstakingly went over... You know, all these different things.
Ideal gas law.
But let's say this had been done in 48 hours from the time it came up.
Sure.
Would Tom Brady have been playing in the Super Bowl? Should he have been playing in the Super Bowl? If you're going to suspend somebody for four games, shouldn't they be the next four games that they play? Right? Wouldn't you think?
Yeah.
Right? So if he in fact earned a four game suspension, I get it, the timing of it, the facts weren't in, but these facts pertain to something that happened in the AFC Championship game. He got to skate and play in the Super Bowl, by my account, if this in fact holds up. The NFL clearly, believes that this is more than just about cheating. It's not just about the impact of a deflated football, although some quarterbacks will tell you there's a significant impact on that. Easier to hang on to the football. Certain, Tony, you've thrown a football. You ever thrown an overinflated football that your hand's too small for?
I deflate it.
You deflate it. Makes it easier to grip.
I do it.
Makes it easier to throw.
Right.
Right. We all do it because we're not playing in the National Football League. So common sense tells me it's a benefit. And common sense also tells me if it wasn't a benefit, you wouldn't be doing it.
Right.
Right? And you were the one who lobbied the league to allow the quarterbacks to basically prescribe how the footballs were going to be set up for each game within the confines of the measurements that are allowable. They think it's a witch hunt up in New England. I'm not surprised that they think it's a witch hunt up in New England. But you've laid the groundwork with Spygate. You're an organization that's not going to be given the benefit of the doubt at this point in time. A first round, they've now been docked two first round picks plus. Forget all the fines. Fines are just money. And it's easy for us to say, but these guys print money. basically, right? They'd much rather pay another $2 million in fines, I think, than give up a first-round draft pick next year. I mean, that's a player. You just can't get that back.
Yeah.
I would think significantly. You'd much rather pay $2 million rather than have Tom Brady miss the first month of the season. The money is significant, but it's not the big thing here. Twice now, they've been docked a first-round draft pick. Plus, and here a fourth-rounder as well. So, basically, if this had been done in a timely fashion, Brady shouldn't have been playing the Super Bowl. They shouldn't have had a first-round pick this year.
Right.
But instead, they get that delayed until next season. Me, personally, for selfish reasons, I hope at least three games of it hold up, and that's obvious. I've had people actually ask me, should we hope that Brady's suspended when the Jags play him? Yes.
Why wouldn't you?
Why wouldn't you, right? All this whole, I want to play him, I want to beat the best. If I can't beat the best, I don't care. No, I want to win. And I want to win within the rules. And if the rules are that, through no fault of my own, that Tom Brady won't be lining up against us, that's a plus for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
If he's not going to be lining up because he broke the rules,
for whatever reason,
I'm fine with that.
Absolutely, of his own doing.
Right.
And I'm sorry, you know, to me, common sense reading of everything that's going on, he knew exactly where he was in this whole situation.
Yeah.
You know.
No, I mean, it's hard to read what we've been, the information that we've been given publicly and not feel like, yeah, Tom Brady probably knew. Now, if you think it's ridiculous or absurd or, again, I've heard people say it, that everybody's doing this in the league, so why does this really even matter? Like, if you have that kind of opinion on it, okay, but you're not saying Tom Brady didn't do this.
Correct.
You can't look at what happened and say, nope, nobody in the Patriots was doing
you're
anything
You're mad shady. That it's him that got caught, or you're mad that he's getting singled out.
Right.
Perhaps you think that the people that have been suspended for performance-enhancing drugs in baseball, or football for that matter, are the only ones who are doing it?
Right.
Right. It may be widespread, it may be rampant, but, you know, and as people said, well, lots of pitchers may be doing it. For some people, that's a good rationale why you shouldn't have an asterisk next to Barry Bonds or Alex Rodriguez. I don't think that's a good rationale.
Me either.
They cheated. Whether the other guys were cheating, too, if they got away with it, that's luck of the draw. It's not fair. Life's not fair. Okay? Ultimately, play by the rules or deal with the consequences. 641-1010. I'll get to some more of these texts coming in here in a minute. Let's go to Gary first up today on the call-in line. What's up, Gary? How are you this morning?
How are you guys? I'm good. Hey,
good.
Let's just, Mike Tony, let's just look at the regime under Bill Belichick. The finagling of the injury report, New England Patriots. Spygate, New England Patriots. Deflategate, New England Patriots. The SI article where the Patriots, the headset's working when they're on offense. The opponent gets the football. All of a sudden, the headsets go off. Patriots, what's the common denominator? Always the Patriots. And to me, I think Brady should have got 8 games because of the continued. It's always the Patriots. And, you know, New England fans refuse to, you know, they stick their head in the sand and refuse to admit it. But people try to say, oh, it's jealousy of the Dolphins or the Jets fans are jealous. But Steeler team were saying, there's an angle on the rule. Ryan Clark was on talking about how the worldwide perception around the league, guys, is that the Patriots are cheaters. They'll do anything to win, and it can't all be jealousy when there's too many factors always involving the Patriots. And I'll hang up and listen. Thanks, guys.
All right, Gary, thank you. I do believe there's certainly some of that in play because you've heard it over the years, Tony. Questions raised about the electronic communications in Foxborough.
Yep.
I've heard that off the record as well.
I've heard people joke around about it.
A known thing.
Yeah, when you went to Foxborough, you just knew at some point your communications were going to go out.
Right.
It was going to happen.
And I don't doubt that there's some, put it this way, the way I saw it put, I forget who suggested this point of view, but I agree with it, that you're not going to see a lot of owners around the league taking Robert Kraft's side on this, if any, because they feel like that organization has gotten away with too much over the years. Now, Robert Kraft apparently ready to go to war with Roger Goodell. I find it hilarious, quite frankly, Stephen A., that he would say we'll accept any punishment from the league that the league deems as necessary, and then as soon as the punishment comes out a week later, did you not think they were at
right?
Do you think by saying that he'd say, well, they're being good guys, we'll just give them a little slap on the wrist? I mean, did you not think this was possible when it was all out there in the wind? I mean, honestly, a lot of people, as our caller Gary said, think this is too light a punishment.
Yeah.
That, I mean, the one story I thought, which I never thought would happen, was that he'd be suspended for the entire year, but a lot of people were suggesting 8 games.
Mm-hmm.
You hear Adam Schefter talking about maybe this gets knocked down on appeal. We don't know who's going to hear the appeal
right
at this point in time.
I'm curious about the whole appeal process in this thing, because in the end, it is Goodell's decision. Like, he can give it to an independent arbitrator if he wants to, but he doesn't have to. And if he feels strongly enough about what this suspension should be for Tom Brady and the Patriots, because of maybe it's because of past things, maybe it's because he feels like they've been lying to him throughout this investigation, not cooperating when they said they would. Whatever the reasons are that Goodell felt like when Vincent brought him this punishment, he said, yeah, we'll go with that. If Goodell in the end says, nope, nobody's hearing this one but me, boys, this one's on me. If he decided to go that way, I would completely understand why he did. And I get that there'd be a bunch of fans and there'd be a bunch of players that are screaming bloody murder about it. But in the end, it's his call. It's his call. And the players didn't fight hard enough to make it where it wasn't going to be Roger Goodell's call in the CBA.
Well, what did Robert Kraft say yesterday? We believe any fair arbitrator on appeal would reduce this or not agree with this.
Right.
In other words, he's saying commissioner's not a fair arbitrator.
Right.
And hey, it's interesting now that the owners, when one owner gets dinged here, and anytime your player gets suspended, every owner takes a hit in terms of his team not being at full strength.
Sure.
From that standpoint, but typically it's the players railing against Goodell and his, you know, total domination of the discipline system. And now you've got an owner who's feeling the wrath of Goodell, and now he's jumped ship, and he's on the other side of it. Look, it's been
like,
the system,
man,
all along.
This isn't fair.
Good for the goose, not good for Robert Kraft, apparently, as far as that goes.
Yeah.
Got this text in as well on the Boston's Restaurant Sports Bar and text line. Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar text line.
You got it.
Thank you. It says, my take is that guys who do performance-enhancing drugs do it with the presumption that they won't get caught and get a slight advantage. Tom Brady cheated just like those guys have done. It is very small, but it's still cheating. I think that's what it comes down to.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. I mean, look, we don't say, oh, the guy took PEDs, but he struck out in the big game, so it didn't help him when it mattered
and
most.
And by the way, like, if Tom Brady, when this whole thing had started, had stepped up and said, look, I may have insinuated, you know, 2 years ago to these guys that I like the footballs at a certain inflation rate. And,
could have handled it so much easier.
Right, and just said, you know, if they felt some kind of pressure, it was probably from me to make that kind of thing happen. And he could even say, I wasn't completely aware that it was still going on. I don't know. Like, once I give the ball to those guys, I'm not sure. But if they felt some kind of pressure to do that, I could understand where it'd be coming from. And it would be coming from me.
Right.
Tom
and
Brady.
Oh, by the way, I don't think there should be any repercussions, because those guys are never working again.
Right.
Not for the Patriots. They're on indefinite suspension. Do you ever see them being allowed back in that facility
right.
in Foxborough?
And I wouldn't be surprised at all if it was like, all right, here's a fine. Like, I don't even think he would get suspended if that's how he had handled this thing from the very beginning. But instead, we got all those little smirking comments about how he likes the balls, like all that stuff where he was almost smiling at the camera.
Right, come get me. You can't.
Right.
I'm untouchable.
As he was saying, it was like, come on, dude. Like, what's Goodell supposed to do?
Let's get Rick up next here on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Rick. How are you?
Hey, good morning, guys. Hey, I was talking to a couple of my buddies about, you know, this Brady thing, and we were trying to say if it were baseball or if there were another sport, what the parallels would be. And the closest I could come up with is a cork bat. But not only the one he's batting with, but you go in the dugout and find 10 more just like it.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's any of those. I mean, cork bats, performance enhancing. PEDs are performance enhancing. They're, you know, doctoring the baseball is performance enhancing. And yeah, it's funny because baseball kind of had a romanticism about that whole thing for years, even
yeah.
though they knew it was going on. Even though when Gaylord Perry finally got nailed, he got suspended. It was kind of with a wink nod. Yeah, this guy doctors the baseball, but can't doctor yourself. to what degree people are going to disagree on how it helped them or didn't help them, if it in fact happened. But as you've seen the studies out there, the Patriots' fumble numbers, they went from an average team in terms of fumbling to when the rule changed to where the quarterback could start preparing the football to his specifications, the Patriots became an outlier with how infrequently they fumbled compared to every other team in the National Football League. Statistically anomalous numbers. And is it easier to hang on to a slightly deflated football? I think it is. And again, people are going to get into the whole kind of scoff at it and say, 0.6 PSI. It's not, I don't know what the measurement is. I don't know what the threshold is. All I know is softer football, harder for you to rip it out of my grip. I've got a tighter grip on it because I can kind of sink my fingers into that thing. So did it have an effect across the board for this team? And we're talking about the narrowest of margins here. How many times, Tony, they were knocking on the door and almost beat the Giants in two Super Bowls, right? A play here, a play there, it goes the other way. And now they're the sixth-time Super Bowl champion, right? New England Patriots. So how many of those games, theoretically, and I don't know the answer to this, I don't know if there's any impact, but how many? It's not just about that one game. That one game is where they got nailed. The presumption is they've been doing this systematically for a while. How many of those close regular season games that eventually resulted in home field advantage? If it was one that was tipped in the outcome because of that, and there's no way to quantify it, but just think of it in those terms. It's not just that game. It's not just the Super Bowl game and how he played in that. It's all the ones that led up to it that set them into position to be in those games that have an impact.
Absolutely.
All right, we got to take a break. 641-1010, if you'd like to get on board, as a texter said on the Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar text line, Terrell Pryor got suspended 5 games for getting free tattoos in college, which is absolutely insane, too, because he wasn't in the National Football League. That's another story. But punishments are all over the board. People are saying, well, you know, originally Ray Rice got less games for domestic violence. Yes, they're two separate things. I thought Tony Boselli talked about it pretty well this morning on the drill. Look, there are crimes that happen that we think are much less significant than some of the violent crimes that people get lesser sentences for in real life. It happens. There's a screwy system to it. The bottom line is don't get hung up on the 4 games. You shouldn't be hung up on any game suspension. Whether if they were deemed to have been guilty and Brady was a cheater, whatever the punishment was is what the punishment is. It's the label that goes with it. And does this impact his legacy? We'll get into it a little bit as we go along. 641-1010 if you want to weigh in. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM. All right, right back to the phone lines in a moment. 641-1010. A lot of people want to weigh in on this. Some people done with it. I get it. But you got to understand, it's a huge NFL story. And we're going to address it. That's just the way it is.
Well, look, this was a story. We talked about it when it was developing after the AFC Championship game.
Sure.
It wasn't just a sports story. It was, you know, all the morning news was covering this. It was bigger than just, hey, you know, the NFL, this is the limit of it. It was huge, and it still is a huge story because everybody's watching what happens with this
But thing. Even if they weren't, Tony, even if it were just limited to what happens on Sports Center in the sports realm, it's big in our realm. It's a huge story in our realm.
No player of the prestige of a Tom Brady has ever been suspended by the league for cheating. It's never happened. And now he's got a 4-game suspension coming for breaking the rules of the National Football League. This is unprecedented that the league would go after a guy this high profile.
Number of texts coming in, and you're right, and to basically label him a cheater.
Right.
And it's not as all about the actual deflating of the footballs. It's about the failure to cooperate fully with the investigation, and that Tom Brady is not above reproach here. I know people have said, oh, it's ridiculous. You shouldn't hand over his personal cell phone. He's got pictures of Giselle on there. They didn't want any of that. They offered to let his representatives, lawyers, agents, whatever,
sure,
cull the photos, turn over to us the texts that are applicable to this. No, I will not do it.
And look, I think I've heard people, and I get the idea of, well, that information always leaks, right? Like, they've compared it to Wonderlic scores, all these different things. Then if you're Tom Brady and his lawyers, you say, sure, we'll sit down, we'll go through this. I want the signatures of the 4 people in this room from the NFL, and I'm telling you, if anything that is not related to this investigation gets leaked to the public, I know your names. I know who's in this room, and I'm coming for you. I will have my legal repercussions coming for you if any information that has nothing to do with this gets leaked from my emails or my cell phones. I don't see where Tom wouldn't be in the right to do that kind of thing, right?
I don't even know, Tony, if they didn't just want like a transcript, a record.
Who knows?
Here's what all the texts were that I sent to X numbers. These numbers that pertain to specific Patriot employees.
Sure, I've told you the entire time I thought the idea of he can't turn over his cell phone because of pictures of Giselle is so stupid, based on the information that we have to this point. It's dumb.
Let me just rip off a few of these texts, and we'll get back to the phone calls here on the Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar text line. What happened to the $25K fine? Isn't that what the rules say is applicable? Minimum $25K fine.
It's where it starts.
It's where it starts.
Someone mentioned the cork bat. The penalty for a cork bat officially is you're out. The player who used the bat is out, and they are ejected from that game. That's never been all that player has faced as far as punishment. They always get a suspension on top of that.
Sure.
Always.
That's the minimum, though, and then you factor in the uncooperative nature of Tom Brady, according to the NFL. And I know his agent and representatives are spinning it a different way. And you have
they
a right
should.
To feel any way you want about that. I'm just, from the NFL's point of view, that's what they're taking into account, plus that organization's track record. In this regard, I think you talk about the fine and the draft picks that were levied against the team, I think that came into play as well. Texter says it's about the integrity of the game. That must be protected. Another one says, how soon we forget the great Jerry Rice admitted to using Stickum and claimed that many receivers did it. That's from Dave. You're absolutely right, Dave. Jerry Rice admitted cheating, outright admitted cheating. And then a bunch of people came out and said, wait a minute, I didn't use Stickum. He's not talking about me because I didn't use Stickum. And you're absolutely right. Had that happened, had Jerry Rice admitted that during his playing career, or, you know what I mean, had it impacted a game that we specifically remember
right.
The instance of, this happens after your career, and it's human nature that Tom Brady's hot right now. They just won the Super Bowl. This is getting a lot more attention. But there's no question. You're factually correct on that he admitted to cheating and thought everyone would back him up on it, and everyone's like, whoa, you're on your own on this one.
Yeah,
Jerry,
they left him on that limb despite how great Jerry Rice was. And I go back to the New Orleans Saints with that, because when Bountygate was going on, all these players that have been in the league for 20, 30, 40, 50 years talked about, yeah, we had bounties. We had, you know, the guy with the biggest hit. You knock this guy out of the game, we had a pool of money that all these players were going to get. Guess what? The NFL had evidence on a team that they were doing this kind of thing, and they said, enough, done, it's over, we're not allowing it anymore, we're going to make an example of the New Orleans Saints because we don't want that to be part of the game. Look, it is a different NFL than it was 30, 40 years ago. Whether you like it or not, the NFL has become kind of a morality police in a lot of ways under Goodell's reign here as the commissioner with the National Football League.
You're driving down the highway. Everyone's going 10 miles over the speed limit. You're the one guy who gets pulled over.
Yep.
Are you upset because everyone else is doing it? Sure. But can you really blame anyone but yourself? You were speeding.
Right.
Okay? And that's the bottom line. You were the one who was caught. Is it fair that you were one? Maybe it was random. Maybe it was luck of the draw. Whatever. So maybe somebody singled you out. But the fact is, if you weren't speeding, they couldn't have gotten you for
speeding.
So there you have it. Let's get back to the phones now. Jim, next up this morning on 1010XL. Good morning, Jim. How are you?
Hey, guys. Good discussion. And I would just want to say up front that, of course, this is a huge and important discussion to have. It's a sports radio show, mostly a football show. And we're talking about the highest level of football in America, the pros. But every kid from Pop Warner through junior high and high school dreams about playing in the NFL. So, yeah, this is huge. But my opinion I wanted to say was, if they have compelling evidence that Brady was a part of this, doing this with the balls, then the punishment's not enough. They should take the championship. Because if you're really going to have standards and rules, I mean, it is the integrity of the game, and it's, you know, the future of the game. And anybody that's played football, I didn't play pro football, but I played it most of my young life, knows that, especially at the pro level, it's nuances. It's the little things that make a difference. And I played in weather that was cold sometimes. If you can grab a partially deflated ball, you can snag them easier. It's you can throw it, snag it, and hold on to it easier.
Yeah.
So to me, if they've got the evidence, they should take the championship.
Thank you, Jim. Appreciate the call. He got caught. I think the championship is that so far out of the realm of possibility, it's not funny. For if no other reason, Tony, what happens when a million people with losing betting slips march on Vegas, right? Seriously, how much money is wagered and paid out on the Super Bowl and all the sporting events that go with it? They're not going to stir that hornet's nest. They're not going to delegitimize their biggest event of the year.
No.
They're trying to put blinders on and say, wait a minute, he cheated here. We waited to give you the results till after the big game, and now he's going to be suspended for these games that are not as significant. And there's no way to slice it. Those games are not as significant as the Super Bowl. So they're saying, don't put two and two together and question the legitimacy of the Super Bowl. Clearly, it's in question, but for the NFL, they would never, ever go back and retroactively award that to anybody else. Just
no.
Not going to happen.
And the only way that you could even have any idea of what happened in the past is if the guy who is labeled himself the deflator for the Patriots, if you just set him down and went over the last 8 or 9 years and said, did you deflate the balls before this game? Yes. Did you deflate the balls before this game? Yes. Did you deflate the balls before this game? Yes. Like,
right. But then what if we find out that if somebody on the other team, on the team that lost to the Patriots, was juicing? Right, and they were cheating.
Sure.
Right, and you're never going to go into retroactively changing the outcome of these things.
No,
that's never
you're never
gonna be
going
on the table.
To, and you're never going to get the guy to sit down and say these are all the ones that I helped him cheat at. Right, like you just have an idea that they got him at the AFC Championship game. You can look at the evidence that they have, and you get a pretty good idea that it had happened at least earlier on in this season in 2015. It's hard to prove anything beyond that unless somebody who has knowledge of the situation comes out and says, yeah, I saw this happen. I was participating in this in 2008, right? You just don't know.
All right, this is State Football History brought to you by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry. I'll do the birthdays first. We'll start with not the oldest, but the most significant one on this list, the Road Scout. Happy birthday to Dan Hicken.
Hey!
52 years young today. Dan Hicken has been a Road Scout among his many other duties covering the sports scene here in Jacksonville for an eternity. Hey, old man, happy birthday. Not as old, however, as James Wilder Sr., one of the better Buccaneers of the early through mid-80s, had 2 1,000-yard seasons, 57 years young today, born in 1958. Also, they unfortunately share a birthday with Lawrence Phillip. We'll skip quickly by him as he turns 40 as he rots in prison. Steve Smith, yes. That's Steve Smith, the better Steve Smith, the 5-time Pro Bowler, 2-time first-team All-Pro, turns 36 today, born in 1979. Happy first birthday to Jacksonville Jaguar Tyson Alualu, 28 years old today. 1982, Tony, on this date in football history, May 12th, the United States Football League was formed. Division champions in that first season, the Philadelphia Stars, Michigan Panthers, and the Oakland Invaders, Chicago Blitz, got the wild card, and I believe it was the Michigan Panthers going on to win the championship. In fact, it was 24-22 over Philadelphia in that inaugural season. This date in football history brought to you by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry, located on Gate Parkway. If you need cosmetic work done or you're in the market for a family dentist, call Dr. McCall at 620-9225 or visit jamesjmccall.com to get a complete list of comprehensive care services. That is this date in football history.
Now, the Honda Drive Around the NFL, brought to you by your Jacksonville area Honda dealers.
Aaron Hernandez was indicted by a grand jury on Friday of witness intimidation. While the name of the witness hasn't been released publicly that he intimidated, knowing that it is someone that was allegedly shot in the face by Hernandez and left to die, we can put the pieces together and figure out that it is probably Alexander Bradley. The story regarding Bradley shooting came out a while ago. It was attached to the double murder in Boston that Hernandez hasn't yet faced a trial for. Allegedly, Bradley was riding with Hernandez in Riviera Beach, Florida. When he made a comment about the double homicide in Boston, Hernandez then shot him. Again,
that's intimidating.
Allegedly, Hernandez was sentenced to life without the possibility of parole last month after being found guilty in the murder of Odin Lloyd. The Houston Texans have officially waived strong safety DJ Swearinger, the reason apparently being that he was unwilling to play on special teams.
And his dog bit Clowney.
That's right, was a second-round pick of the Texans in 2013. And GoFundMe right now has a page up where Patriots fans can go and help pay the fine, the million-dollar fine for the New England Patriots. As of right now, they have just over $1,300 donated on an account that started this morning.
Yeah, good luck with that. But hey, if you want to throw your money away, throw your money away. There's worse things, I suppose, to throw your money away on than that. Maybe you feel like the Patriots, if you're a Patriot fan, have given you incalculable amounts of pleasure over the years. And, you know, you want to throw your $10 to Robert Kraft, go right ahead. I think he can afford it. He would probably tell you to save your money as well. He's going to appeal it. He'll probably spend more on the appeal, although now the question is, will he threaten a lawsuit against the National Football League over this, which would be outside the boundaries? You know, it's so funny to see the shoe on the other foot, right? When it's the players and the players are railing against the system. It's unfair, Goodell. It's unfair. He's a dictator. Well, you signed on for it. That's right. Always been my answer to that. If you don't like it, don't sign the collective bargaining agreement. Well, then we wouldn't be playing. Well, that's called leverage.
Right.
Okay, that's the real world. You don't always get what you want in a negotiation, but when you sign off on that, you're bound by that agreement. And that's the situation they find themselves in. And if it doesn't go well for the Patriots, the suggestion that Robert Kraft might step outside of the structure for appealing this process, which has been well established, I find comical now.
No, it's
just absolutely comical.
It's ridiculous. And if you wonder why baseball and basketball have such stronger players unions, it's been because they've been willing to walk away at different times. They've done it several times over the history of those sports.
They canceled the postseason in 1994.
Right. They walk away. And the story around that is the guys who had all the money in the league, the stars in the league, were taking care of the little guy on those rosters. They were saying, look, you need help with a house payment. They had treasure chests of money that they had set aside because they knew this was coming. They took care of their own in that league. And in the NFL, they have the lockout a couple years ago, and every player you put a microphone in front of, what did they say about missing games? We're not missing any games.
We're not going to miss any games.
No, we're not going to miss any paychecks.
Once you say that,
right, then you have nothing.
It's over.
You have no leverage. And these other sports that have these strong unions, it's because when they're asked that question, when they're serious about it, they go, yeah, we'll miss. We're fine. We're going to get what we want
right
out of this negotiation. In the NFL, they've never had that. They've never had that united front. And then you just get this up in arms. Why is Goodell persecuting us? Because you allow him to.
It's a difficult position to be in, Tony, because a lot of these guys, their careers are a lot shorter than sports.
Yeah.
Right? And you, if you're one of the rank and file, man, you just want to play. You can't afford necessarily. I mean, how could you afford to take a year off from work?
Nope.
That doesn't mean they couldn't get some other job, but to be ready and available and productive for the NFL, particularly if you're a fringe guy, you've got to be working out, preparing yourself. Yes, you can have another job, but are you going to find something comparable to that? And if you don't give your full focus to that, when it's time to get back to work, are you going to be best prepared to win a roster spot? So I get it. I really do. But ultimately, you know, I don't want any work stoppages, right? I don't care who wins these things. The fans lose when there's no football.
Yep.
I just want football. Now, I want a healthy sense of labor stability with nothing looming over it. And, you know, I have no problem with a sense of fairness. But if these players really want some of these critical changes to the CBA, then they need to be willing to go the distance and miss games and miss a season. And, again, I don't want that in any way, shape, or form. Are you kidding me? I mean, my livelihood is centered around covering the National Football League. So I certainly don't want that to happen for selfish reasons, but just as a football fan who wants to take away the enjoyment that you look forward to 8 months of the year, you're anticipating the next season. Then it gets there, and to not have it or have less of it. So I understand all the circumstances, but that's where it is. And right now, by the way, I believe they said Vegas still had the Patriots as a 1.5 to 2.5 point favorite in the opener on Thursday Night Football.
Mm.
That's no Brady, no LeGarrette Blount, but let's not forget that Le'Veon Bell is currently suspended for the first three games of the season pending a potential appeal for the Pittsburgh Steelers. So
sure,
critical cog to their offense as well. Patriots still going to be at home and a well-motivated group. You can believe they'll be favored against the Jags no matter who's at quarterback in Week 3.
Probably.
But
it may change with whatever the outcomes of those first 2 weeks
possibly,
are.
Possibly. But I tell you what, right now, all of a sudden you go from looking at the schedule to everyone who's reasonably going through going win-loss, is putting a loss or had been putting a loss in Week 3.
Sure.
Now you're saying, hey, why not, right? I mean, this is not, you could, not that it was, anything's ever written in stone, You're going to go up there no matter who's playing. Tom Brady's in there, fine. You're going to take your chance. You're going to roll in there. But that's just granting that they're the Super Bowl champs. They're at home. They're very tough to beat. Jags still a developing club. And, you know, they should be better. They should win most of their home games this year against all competition, never mind a team that's won or earned themselves a top three pick for the last 3 years. But put Jimmy Garoppolo in there. And by the way, Garoppolo could surprise. He could play very well. They've got plenty of time to mentally prepare. The appeal at whatever point it's held will be well out of the way. They're not going to drag this thing out till the eve of the season, I wouldn't imagine.
That would be fun, though.
You wouldn't think, though, right? I mean, people are sick of it already. Never mind if you dragged it out to that extent. If you want to get in Fan Feedback Spotlight today, if I didn't specifically state the question on air, at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL Fat Tony, simply, is Tom Brady's legacy permanently tarnished by this whole situation? And some people say yes, some people say no. What do you say? Weigh in on that via Twitter and the Jaguars Today Facebook page. You can also get on board at 641-1010. We'll take a quick break, come back. We got Marshall and Michael on the phone. We'll get to you guys next right here on 1010XL 92.5 FM. All right, moving along on this Tuesday morning. I keep wanting to grab the microphone and
adjust it. Right.
It's like a nervous tick because, you know, it's just one of those things that come out of a break. I grab the mic, make sure it's right in proper position. We got the brand new table mics, Tony, and we don't have to do that anymore. I'm going to have to get over that little tick of mine. We'll see when that passes by. 641-1010. Let's get back to the lines. A lot of people weighing in on this. Deflategate, Brady, the legacy. You can weigh in via Twitter as well, at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL Fat Tony. Marshall's been hanging on. Marshall, thanks for the call. How are you?
Good morning, guys. I've been listening to all this conversation about the Patriots, and I've never heard anybody mention the snowplow incident. Do you remember that?
Yes.
I mean, right. That was 20 years ago, wasn't it?
Right, didn't know. That was in the 80s. Ago, that was like 83, 84. This is prior to this regime. Robert Kraft didn't own the team back then, I don't believe. None of the current members of the organization. That was that story, the snowplow incident, for people who don't remember it. I don't know if somebody told him to go out there and do it or he did it of his own accord. Remember, there's a guy on a work release from prison.
Yep.
Right? And it was a ridiculously snowy day. The field was blanketed in snow. And there was a timeout. Patriots are going to line up to try to kick a field goal. It was a scoreless game. And he plows a patch of turf right where the hold is going to be. So there's a better chance for the hold to come down clean. And the Patriots make the field goal. And they win the game 3-0 against Miami.
Yeah, it was 82.
82, right. So that's a long time ago. That one, I think most people have written that off. As, you know, I don't know. I don't recall specifically, Tony, if somebody was suggested to have sent the guy out there, if he did it of his own accord, and he just thought, hey, this might help. Let me go plow that little patch of ground. But
right.
That, to me, struck me as more of a spontaneous moment. And certainly you could look at that and say, you know, what, that's cheating. What could you have done? Well, I guess you could have flipped the end and made him go kick down the other end of the field if the referees had been so inclined. But thank you for the call, Marshall. Remember that game well, or at least I think I do. If I messed up any details, blame it on the fog of time. Michael is next up here on 1010XL. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, gentlemen. Real quick, two things. I know you said Vegas hasn't changed their odds on the opening game, but what about...
No. They shrunk. They have changed them, but the Patriots are still favored to win.
Oh, okay, and I was just wondering how overall for the Super Bowl what they have them at. And then my second thing is at least from what I've heard today, I haven't heard anybody compare what the Patriots did at all to what the Falcons did.
With the noise?
And the punishment.
Yeah, the noise thing, I forget what the Falcons' exact punishment was. They lost a draft pick or a couple of draft picks in the deal. I'm sure they were fined. Ray Farmer got suspended 4 games for texting against the rules to the sideline, suggesting plays as the GM, I think it was. Yeah, you could certainly look at it as akin to that, right? If you're knowingly pumping in crowd noise, which is designed to give you a home field advantage, there's
sure.
No question about it.
The Colts have been accused of the same thing, $350,000 fine, and they forfeited a fifth round
draft pick.
And again, for the organization, the fine's bigger, the draft picks are more significant, but they have a track record with Spygate that they've been found out. Now, as far as the individual doing this, there was no one player on the field that tried to, you know, in the Atlanta situation that turned up the volume. You know what I mean? Or at least to my knowledge, there isn't. So there wasn't that one comparable player. And I don't doubt that there's some of the, this guy is the face of the league, we have to prove he's not above reproach, right? That we, and plus Tom Brady's pretty damn defiant about the whole situation. As somebody pointed out, let me see if I've got it, the Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar text line, at Brady's appeal, they should play the soundbite of Tom Brady telling the Ravens to study the rule book. That was after they used all those shifts to get Julian Edelman open on what appeared to be in him lining up as an ineligible player, and they, you know, they went by the letter of the law, and it was a loophole in the rules, which are changing, but they certainly took advantage of it, and Tom Brady was pretty cocky about it afterwards, telling the Ravens to know the rules. Well, the same could be applied to Tom Brady.
I think he knows them pretty well.
I think you should know them pretty well. Let me see, a couple of others, got a bunch of them in here. Does Brady get an asterisk when he goes into the Hall of Fame? Well, he won't have one. There's not going to be an official asterisk if he goes in the Hall of Fame. That's for you to decide as a fan. And that's kind of the question of the day. Legacy is a funny thing. He'll go in the Hall of Fame. I have no doubt he'll go in the Hall of Fame. And most football people are going to poo-poo this. We're talking about a little pounds of square inch pressure. Ha ha. It's cheating. Okay? So you can determine, is it significant to you? Is it not? Do you have a mental asterisk? That's what I'm talking about. That's where legacy comes in. He's still going in the Hall of Fame. They're not going to keep him out of the Hall of Fame over this. Not in my opinion. But when you compare him now to Joe Montana, well, they both have four. Yeah, well, was Montana above reproach? Did Montana cheat? I mean, that's going to be part of the conversation, right?
And Jerry Rice is saying he was cheating with Montana.
Right. Well, you can look at it that way, right, if you choose to. But if you're talking about Montana himself, he hasn't been implicated in anything directly with any direct knowledge of that kind of stuff. Hey, look, it's a different time we live in, too. Maybe back then this stuff would have been just kind of passed off as no big deal. I don't know, but that's not the climate we live in, especially with Roger Goodell. And I am a little bit, frankly, surprised that Belichick did escape unscathed, because Sean Payton was said to have no direct knowledge of what was going on in New Orleans with Bountygate, but he was expected to be in charge. That ignorance was not an excuse for the head coach, or expected to know all these aspects of what's going on.
And they mentioned the Falcons punishment a few moments ago. If I remember correctly, Goodell even said in his statement about that Rich McKay, who got suspended for 3 months from the competition committee, didn't have any direct knowledge of what was going on with the sound being pumped in, but that he should be in control of those kind of, like, it was, you should know about what is going on with your organization in that kind of capacity, so that's why I'm suspending you for these 3 months from the competition committee. It's, Goodell has been holding guys accountable for not holding everyone in their organization accountable for things that he sees fit here since he became the commissioner.
Some more reaction on the Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar text line. What would the reaction have been, someone texts, if it came out today that Ricky Fowler had used the ball at TPC not permitted by the tour that allowed for slightly better spin or grip on the green?
There would be outrage.
There would be outrage, but in terms of actually going back and reversing the outcome, I think there's a deadline for that. You know what I mean? Like, once a tournament is deemed to have gone final, I don't know if you were knowingly proven to have used an illegal ball. And you want to talk about specifics here and the PSI, and obviously you don't inflate golf balls, but you know what I'm talking about. The engineering specifications, the range that they're allowed to, are very exacting.
Yep.
Okay. You can have a driver, I believe, that is 460 cubic centimeters of volume in the head of the driver and not a single bit more. Okay, there's an upper limit, there's probably a lower limit, there's certainly an upper and lower limit for tolerances on the club, mm-hmm. on the face of the club, on the shaft of the club, on the golf ball itself, and all these things are rigorously tested. I mean, tested by machines that otherwise you wouldn't, to the naked eye, you'd never notice the difference, but they have tolerances that they have to adhere to. And typically, if you buy golf balls off the shelf, typically, you know, the big names, they are all conforming to the rules of golf.
No, it's funny the difference between the conversation with guys bending rules a little bit in golf as compared to like football or something like that. Because you can remember just a handful of years ago at Augusta when Tiger Woods took what turned out to be an illegal drop, whether he knew it or not, took an illegal drop, and the golf world was up in arms. I mean, there were people that had been around the game that were like, he needs to pull himself
right,
out of
pull
this
himself
tournament.
Out of the tournament.
He shouldn't allow himself to continue this farce of playing in this tournament. With football, you have half the fans of the nation going, come on, who cares if they broke the rules?
Tony, you see the commercial? I love it, by the way. The guy from Community who does the NASCAR commercial, you know, 700 freaking horse freaking power,
yeah.
That guy, right?
Yeah.
Whatever. I love that commercial, right? But right in the commercial, he says something about how one of the appeals of NASCAR is everybody's cheating.
Yeah.
Right? That's basically, I forget the exact wording because I'm watching it last night and thinking, that is one of their sales pitches that they're putting out there and you've already heard it a million times. If you ain't cheating, you ain't trying.
That's right.
I mean,
that post-race inspection gets somebody seemingly every week.
Is right. Well, it's certainly in NASCAR, and people use that phrase in life in general, in sports across the board, but it's certainly been seemingly embraced by NASCAR. This is an official NASCAR spot on TV.
Yeah.
Basically telling you, we're gonna maybe bend the rules a little bit here and there. And that's part of the allure of NASCAR, and that's what they do. And so be it. That's what they do. Roger Goodell, as the czar of discipline, has decided that's not what we're gonna do, at least if we catch you doing it. And that argument about they tried to entrap them, well, again, I go back to, if you're not breaking the rule, you're not going to get caught breaking
right.
the rule.
The entrapment, the accusations that the referees didn't do the proper thing with the ball. Look, maybe the referees should have kept the ball in their possession, in their sight the entire time. The point is, your boy took them. Like, that doesn't mean that they didn't take them improperly, too, if you're the Patriots' ball boy. It just means, hey, the official, he didn't completely do his job. Yeah, because your guy had to find some way to go get the cheating done. Right? Like, so your defense is basically, they didn't police us well enough to keep us from cheating in the AFC Championship game. And if Goodell wants to do something about the process of getting those game balls onto the field, I'm sure that process can change and a lot of people are going to be a lot more vigilant about what's going on with that kind of thing. But it's not a defense for your cheating that they allowed you the opportunity and window to do it.
All right, let's get Mike up on hold, who says he was at the snowplow game. Hello, Mike. How are you?
I am fine. How are you today?
We're good. What do you recall from that game?
Well, I remember watching it on TV. Basically, what you were right. It did finish 3-0. What happened was the guy on the snowplow was right. Was one of those workers from the just like you said. What happened was when the Patriots were down there, they were trying to clear a place on the field. He just ended up driving straight across the field, right through the area where they were going to put the ball down, and went straight to the other side. Don Shula ended up getting very upset because he'd seen him doing it, and he tried to get the officials to move the ball down to the other end and let the Patriots kick from that end toward that field goal, but the officials would not let him do it. But he took it on his own accord because after the game, they went ahead and interviewed the guy on the snowplow. He did it on his own accord. So that you are correct. That's exactly what happened.
All right.
And he was a gentleman from the work release program.
I got you. Thank you, Mike, for the call. Tyler, what in the world kind of information were you giving me that told me that Mike was at the snowplow game and that Belichick did it on his own accord?
That's what he told me. He said he was at the game.
You guys need to get your story straight here because somebody's getting suspended, and I don't have Mike's number, so I'm looking at you right now.
Oh, man.
What in the world? Then I said, so you're at the game? Yeah, I watch on TV.
He said, okay. I was at the game, and I was there, and I saw him do it on his own accord. That's what he told me.
Saw who do it on his own accord?
He said Belichick did it on his own accord. I don't...
Belichick did what?
Right. Belichick was driving a snowplow.
I was passing along the word that he had told me, so that's what he said.
Okay. So seeing as how he wasn't on the Patriots coaching staff.
Yeah, and Belichick still with the Giants
the
at that
snowplow
time.
Game. He was, in fact, with the Giants during that time. So, very confusing series of pieces of information that I'm throwing around. Do we have Wolverine Bill on the line? Let's get Bill up here before we break. Hello, Bill. How are you this morning?
Good, guys.
this is.
Hold on. Let me just guess. Hold on. Wolverine Bill, which side might he come down on this story on? All right, go ahead, Bill.
Well, no, because I'm going to defend and crucify him at the same time. Spygate was serious. Spygate, you were actually physically cheating. The only reason the NFL put these error rules into effect was because of the kickers. The kickers were doing all kinds of crazy stuff with the balls to the point where there was a kick, and I don't remember when it was, but it was several years ago, where the seams on the ball actually broke. When the official picked the ball up, there had been so much air in it that the seam broke. So the NFL said, okay, you're only allowed to have this or you have that. You guys mentioned Montana. Montana came out like right after this all came up and said, he said, we always used to adjust the area of the ball. Every quarterback has the way they like their ball to feel. Some like it a little softer, some like it a little harder. And the difference between 9 pounds and 11 pounds, it's just a matter of feel. It's not like they're trying to get some competitive advantage.
Hold on, Bill. What do you think the point of getting better feel is? It is a competitive advantage.
But you,
that's why
you're trading off. You're trading off accuracy for distance, because if you let the air down in the ball, you can't throw it as far. So you are trading something off.
Okay, but you think that if you're electing to do that, you feel that better suits your style of play, and therefore it's an advantage to you to have it. Can we agree they wouldn't do this if they didn't think it helped them? Right? Can we all just agree on that? Okay, honestly, on this whole thing. And as far as the kickers go, that may have been the impetus, but they have their own separate balls, right? The K balls, they have a K on them. They're the only balls that can be used by the kickers, and they're not used. These balls that Brady was inflating and deflating had nothing to do with the kicking balls. And Joe Montana, in fact, may have liked his ball a little more deflated. I don't know what the rules were back then. I don't know if the guidelines were as strict back then. And for all we know, he thought, yeah, I like mine a little softer. He was within the legal range, just on the low end. We don't know. We have what appears to be some pretty good evidence that that's not what happened here, that there was a knowing situation where here are the rules. How are we going to get around them? This is the way we're going to do it. Plenty of back-channel communication between Tom Brady and these guys. I think it's a different set of circumstances completely.
No, I do too. And for a team that has made a living in the past 10 years of being the little dink and dunk team that just throws it into the flat and lets guys go make plays. And by the way, they never fumble. Like, they're just the team in the league that fumbles less than anybody else in the National Football League. So maybe they are just deflating the ball to the point where it gives them that advantage, because that's the style of play they've had to have, because they've had Troy Brown and Wes Welker and the Julian Edelman as their star receivers throughout most of this run of dominance for the New England Patriots. They haven't had, except for that 2-year period with Randy Moss, that ability to really go downfield. They've been a dink and dunk, short passing offense, so that only feeds the idea of them needing to do that kind of thing more. Let's deflate the thing down to the point where we feel comfortable we're not turning this ball over.
Here's the thing. If it didn't help, why would you risk breaking the rules
to
do it? I mean, honestly, if it didn't help you, and that's the bottom line, he felt it helped him. And I don't know to what degree. Maybe it's a psychological. But if you go out there of the mind that, hey, everything's great for me today, maybe you're going to play a little bit better. I don't know. Honestly, I don't care if it helped him or not. If, again, I use the example of cheating in school. If a kid, it's a closed book test. Do they still have books or is everything electronic?
I think they have
books, right? And the kid flips open his book and copies, or maybe copies off his neighbor, but he copies the wrong answer. He still cheated.
Right.
It's the intent of trying to cheat. It doesn't matter to me how much it helped you. Now, maybe it does in the real world. People will say, well, you know, I did this, but it resulted in this. I wasn't intending to do that. Whatever the case. If you try to cheat, you're trying to get an advantage. That's the bottom line. Maybe you're bad at it. I don't know. But look, it's going to get appealed. This thing will die down until it finally comes to a head between Kraft, Brady, and Goodell, and it's not over for now. Let's get back we'll take a quick time, but we'll get back to your calls and texts on the other side. 641-1010 if you'd like to get on board. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, Jaguars today on 1010XL 92.5 FM. All right, coming down the home stretch here, XL primetime at the top of the hour. Really just minutes away. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you. Fan Feedback Spotlight brought to you by the Tom Bush Family of Dealerships, asking you today, Tom Brady's legacy permanently tarnished by the events of the Blakegate, the Wells report, and now a pending four-game suspension, which will be appealed. Tony, what do we get?
Here's what we got from Cristiano. Those Patriots titles will always have an asterisk by the side. From Brian, it won't really change anyone's existing opinion. Those who liked him will continue, and vice versa. From Irish Jaguar, nope, I really couldn't care less about it. He's still one of the greatest of all time. From Cam, until the four Super Bowl titles are taken away, it will never be tarnished. From Nick, yes, in my opinion, the same thing as using PEDs. How many times has he cheated in the past? No one knows. Hashtag Pats are cheaters. From Area Man, not unless you consider cheating a bad thing. Hashtag still got a ring, though. From Eric, no, it will always come back to the four Super Bowl titles. These won't be forgotten, but not his legacy. From Christoph, yes, Tom Brady is now a cheater. He is the golden boy of the league and should be punished. And from Demetrius, in my opinion, no, it doesn't. The greatest of all time, Lawrence Taylor, got through his troubles on and off the field and still made the Hall of Fame.
It's a different thing entirely, though. Okay, right? Did, to my knowledge, has anyone ever accused Lawrence Taylor of cheating on the field?
No.
He had issues off the field.
He was playing high on cocaine or any of that kind
okay.
of stuff.
Okay, I mean, you could, if you want to spin that into that is performance enhancing. I don't know. But
in the same way that maybe you would consider Greeny's performance enhancing in baseball, which basically went ungoverned for 20 years.
Maybe so.
Right.
Right. But this seems like a completely different category to me. It really does. This is more akin to performance enhancing drugs, something that you know is against the rules, that you know will directly or believe will directly help you perform on mm-hmm. Sunday. Here's just two more. I'll read you from Facebook. Opposite ends of the spectrum. Johnny Crum says his legacy should be tarnished. That's what happens when you get caught breaking rules. Jeff Young says no. Over a pound of air? First off, there's no evidence. This is a witch hunt with no real evidence. Also, the ball being underinflated makes no advantage. See, again, why do it then? Why would people admit to wanting the ball underinflated if you didn't think it helped you? It can help you. Clearly,
right.
It's that part I don't understand. And the people talk about a pound of air. Again, here's where the line is. You know, it's like an inch. Oh, well, you know, Kevin Dyson got close to the goal line, Tony. Let's just give him the last yard.
Right.
Right? That's just a yard. We're going to argue this over a yard? Are you kidding me? Titans won the Super Bowl. Oh, wait, they didn't. Because they didn't get into the end zone. You got to, I mean, look, the parameters are the parameters. You can feel however you want to feel. I'm not going to change your mind. I'm not trying to change your mind. Do we still have Dave on the line, Tyler? Let's get Dave Wydell. Needs no introduction. Joining us now on Jaguars Day. What's up, Big Dave?
Hey, gentlemen. Nice to hear you on the radio today.
What's going on, man?
Well, I'll tell you what. I've been listening to this. I was headed to lunch. I've got an important business lunch, but someone's got to say something about this. Now, this is going to come out wrong. But I want to say it anyway. And as a center in the NFL, I've handled a lot of balls in my life.
Right.
And let me say this. Playing in Denver, playing in Jacksonville, playing in cold weather climates, like when we played against the New England Patriots in the 1996 season in the AFC Championship game, I would have loved for the ball to have been deflated a little bit because it would have been easier for me to grip the ball under those precarious weather conditions, whether it was really hot and there was sweat on the ball, whether it was really, really cold up in New England and the ball felt like a slick rock. There is definitely a decided advantage for anyone who's handling footballs, and that would be skill guys plus this offensive center, to have a deflated ball in those certain conditions. And I snap balls to Mark Brunell, to Troy Aikman, to John Elway. And I know this, that John, it seems that he loves like overinflated balls because they always seem bigger than other footballs that I used in different places. So I think the only thing we can really, the only conclusion we can really draw here about Tom Brady is not whether or not it was an advantage. We all know it was an advantage in certain situations, but I think Tom Brady's got small hands.
I think you're right, Dave. And, you know, Giselle doesn't seem to mind, so that's between them, really. Dave, good to talk to you, man.
Hey, thanks, guys. Have a great show. Bye.
All right, buddy. Dave Wydell. I can't speak specifically to the hands as a large human being. And even Dave, as big as Dave is, I said, yes, of course. I mean, it's so common sense. That's the part I don't get.
Right.
It doesn't help. What difference does it make?
If you and I are going to have a conversation where you say, if I have a football that's overinflated, do I deflate it a little bit if I'm going to go just throw the ball around? Yes.
Yeah, let's take a little air out of it so I can grip it better. Hence throw it better.
If it makes a difference for you and I, jabronis throwing the ball around, it has to make a difference for those guys.
And like he said, and Dave said, he played in those cold weather environments. How many of those AFC championship games have been played up in Foxborough, or those playoff games have been played up there? And they seem to do pretty well. Yes, they're a good football team. They've been a good football team. But this pushing the envelope, there's a difference between pushing it and ripping it open.
Right.
You push it. Pushing it suggests you're still on the side of the rules and you're testing the upper boundary of it. This is, again, you can judge for yourself how significant it is, and that's where the legacy is going to be judged, in your own mind, because the NFL is not going to slap some asterisk on Tom Brady, but they have in their own way by suspending him. And if the suspension's upheld, this is a guy who you can take all the little niceties of how you want to frame it out, who is going to get suspended for cheating in the AFC Championship game, and therefore, to me, should have been suspended for the Super Bowl if this had been able to be accomplished in a timely fashion.
Mm-hmm.
And the Patriots should have lost their draft picks this year instead of next year. So, in honesty, the Patriots are getting off light here if, in fact, the report is on the correct side of things. You know what I'm saying? Like, I didn't interview all these witnesses. I can't tell you what Goodell may be privy to that we're not privy to, whatever the case may be. But if the justification for the punishment is there, then the Patriots are lucky that the punishment didn't come and couldn't have been given in a more timely fashion, because then they wouldn't be the Super Bowl champs.
And today, Stop griping about the fact, everyone's trying to persecute us. You've won 4 Super Bowl titles. Shut up.
And everyone's like, haters going to hate. What does that mean? So we don't like cheating? I mean,
right.
Tony, I'm a Jets fan, been a Jets fan. I've always said Tom Brady is a better quarterback than Peyton Manning. Always sided on the Brady side of things.
Yes, you have.
And it doesn't bother me in the least bit. I think he's certainly one of the most accomplished versus best. You can argue that all day. But
I don't know how to feel about his legacy, honestly. Like, this story's been out for basically a day now, and I don't know if it changes the way that I feel about Tom Brady. It certainly doesn't change the way I feel about the Patriots. I've felt like they do this kind of stuff all along. Like, this is just the Patriots' MO. They're not pushing the boundary on rules. They're breaking them. And every now and then they're getting caught doing this kind of stuff. I don't know how I feel about the legacy of Tom Brady when everything is said and done because of this.
And here's this final one from Isaiah. No, still one of the greatest players in history. Everyone cheats to get an edge. They just got caught. Is that life? Is that truly happening? Because that's not what I'm teaching my kid. I'm not teaching my kid to cheat his way through school. I'm not saying I've never cheated on a test at school before, okay? But that'd make me a lying hypocrite. But does everyone just cheat in every aspect of life to get an edge? Is that
I guess everyone's okay with it.
Is that sports? And maybe some people are. I'm not of that mind that it's okay to just cheat your way to everything because we assume everybody's cheating. What happened to just athletic competition? May the better team win. I don't see what's wrong with that. Maybe that's
I certainly don't either.
Maybe that's incredibly, incredibly naive. And I'm not suggesting that they're the only ones cheating. But when you get caught, you get caught, and everyone else is doing it. Yeah, tell that to the cop the next time he pulls you over and they go zipping past you at 80 miles an hour on 95. Yeah, a lot of people are doing it, but you are doing it and you are the one who got caught this time.
Yep.
Maybe they'll get caught next time, or maybe they'll see you pulled over to the side and they'll slow down, which is the intent of nailing Tom Brady, I think, ultimately, with this, is that put it out there. He's not above anything else. He's going to get his. You'll get yours too. That does it for us today.